The kind of lawsuits we're looking at are usually filed against people who have defaulted on debts for relatively small amounts, a few thousand dollars, sometimes less. But very little information exists about who is being sued and why. So, Paul, you focused on court cases in St. Louis, Newark, and Chicago. What did you find?
Right. We pulled court records from each city and we compared them with census data. And if you plot these cases on a map, we found they were overwhelmingly in mostly black neighborhoods. In fact, even when you control for income, residents of mostly black neighborhoods were twice as likely to be hit with a court judgment as residents of mostly white ones.
Meaning, even when people make similar amounts of money, people in black neighborhoods are still being sued more often.
Exactly. So I started knocking on doors in one of these neighborhoods in St. Louis.
You want to see one of my paycheck stubs?
Corey Winfield let me into the home she shares with her four kids.
I can show you. I'm going to show you the difference.
And she digs out a pay stub and shows me her take-home pay.
This is what a regular paycheck looks like without garnishment. The net is at the bottom.
She makes just under $17 an hour.
So that's good. And then, Friday, this is what I got.
Since 2012, a company called Midwest Acceptance has been garnishing her paycheck.
Usually like anywhere between $260 and $290, with the 25% being taken out.
The garnishment started at a quarter of her take-home pay, but because she has kids, she can get it down to 10%. This all started back in 2009. Corey needed a new car to get to work to haul her kids to school. She'd always paid cash for cars before, but this time she didn't have enough.
I asked my grandma if she could help me out. And grandma couldn't help out. She usually always could help out, but she couldn't help out with this situation.
So she found a local dealership, picked out a 2002 Dodge Caravan, and they arranged a loan with Midwest for a bit over $8,000. The annual interest rate was almost 30%. Then her financial situation took a turn around the same time that she was separating from her husband.
So a lot of bills did just get left unpaid. I just wasn't on it like the way I should have been.
So one night, around 11 o'clock, a man knocks at the door.
He was asking, you know, if it's this my vehicle, why is it this, why is it that? And I was like, shoot.
Midwest repossessed the van and sold it. They added on some fees for the sale and then sued Corey for the remaining balance, $4,900. By taking her to court, Midwest was able to get a judgment against her that allows them to garnish her wages. Because interest is still running on the debt, Corey will likely pay at least $11,000 in garnishments by the time she's done.
Mm-hmm. That's well more than what the damn vehicle costs, not to mention what it's actually worth.
If she keeps going at this pace, she won't pay off the loan until sometime in 2017. And to give you a sense of how common these types of debt collection lawsuits are, Corey's mom has also been sued over her debt. So was the woman who moved into Corey's old house after she left. That house was in Jennings, where the mayor and five of the eight sitting city council members have also been sued. In fact, in Jennings, there were more than 20 judgments for every 100 residents over a five-year period. And we found that court cases from the rest of St. Louis, Chicago, and Newark showed similar racial imbalances. So Tracy and I tried to understand why this was happening.
Right, because what's happening here is fully legal. The credit system is based on people repaying their debts. If they don't, creditors have the right to sue.
We don't sue the can't pays, we sue the won't pays.
Jan Steger is executive director of DBA International, a trade group for debt buyers. These are companies who buy defaulted debt for pennies on the dollar and then try and collect on it. Debt buyers bring a lot of these types of cases.
When we told Steger how people in black neighborhoods were more likely to be sued than white residents, she said race was never a factor when deciding who to sue.
It's not that we're not concerned about it, but I mean, the fact is that these are all just objective business decisions being made on an account.
Midwest declined to do an interview for this story. Same for other companies that file large numbers of these suits. But many sent statements saying something similar. They treat everyone the same.
So what then might account for the racial disparity in this data? We put that question to William Darity, a public policy professor at Duke University.
There has to be something about the situation that faces black borrowers that makes them more vulnerable to situations in which they're not going to be able to make payment.
His theory?
The huge differential in wealth between black and white households.
Take a black family and a white family with similar incomes. The white family will typically have a lot more wealth, maybe from equity in their house, savings, or investments.
There's this emergency backstop.
Darity says you can trace the wealth gap's roots all the way back to slavery and up through discriminatory public policies stretching into the 60s and 70s. One group builds wealth to pass on to their children, the other less so. Compound that over time, and it's getting worse.
Before the Great Recession takes place, circa 2007, 2006, blacks probably had about $1 in wealth for every $9 or $10 or so that whites held. Now it's $1 for every $12 to $13.
A smaller cushion to fall back on means that if there's some sort of financial emergency, then they're less likely to be able to recover. And at the community level, that means family and friends might not be able to help either.
And for certain types of debt, there may be another factor here, starting with the loan's origination. Sarah Wolf is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
So we see across all kinds of products, subprime auto lending, subprime mortgages, payday lending, car title lending, that blacks and Hispanics are more likely than white borrowers to receive loans that have sort of problematic features.
Well, says even when you factor in that black borrowers tend to have lower credit scores than white borrowers,
the loan costs more, the interest rate costs more, and over the life of the loan, the borrower will pay more.
Which raises the risk of default.
But in the end, why these racial disparities exist is perhaps less important than the simple fact that they're there in the data. Peter Holland, a lawyer who defends against these cases, says if U.S. courts are being used in a way that creates this racially unequal outcome, that's a problem. He says people are entitled to due process.
Equal treatment under law. One red flag for due process is when you see a racially disparate impact.
He says it's up to lawmakers to investigate. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And I'm Paul Keel for ProPublica.